ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, text number 11. Maitreya Uvacha Ganga Yamunayo Nadyo Antara Kshetra Mavasan Aradhan Eva बुभुजे भोगान पुण्यजिहासया गंगा यमुनयोर्नद्योर् अंतरा क्षेत्रमावसन् आरब्धानेव बुभुजे भोगान पुण्यजिहासया गंगा यमुनयोर्नद्योर् अंतरा क्षेत्रमावसन् आरब्धानेव बुभुजे भोगान पुण्यजिहासया। Maitreya Uvacha. The great saint Maitreya said, Ganga, the river Ganges, Yamunayoho, of the river Yamuna, Nadyoho, of the two rivers, Antara, between, Kshetram, the land, Avasan, living there, Arabdhan, destined, Eva, like, Bubhuje, enjoy, Bhogan, fortunes, Punya, pious activities, Jihasaya, for the purpose of diminishing. Translation. The great saintly sage Maitreya told Vidura, My dear Vidura, King Prithu lived in the tract of land between the two great rivers Ganges and Yamuna. Because he was very opulent, it appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune in order to diminish the results of his past pious activities. Purport by His Divine Grace S.A. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The term pious and impious are applicable only in reference to the activities of an ordinary living being. But Maharaj Prithu was a directly empowered incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, he was not subject to the reactions of pious or impious activities. As we have already explained previously, when a living being is specifically empowered by the Supreme Lord to act for a particular purpose, he is called a Shaktiyavesha avatar. Prithu Maharaj was not only a Shaktiyavesha avatar, but also a great devotee. A devotee is not subjected to the reactions resulting from past deeds. Important point. A devotee is not subjected to the reactions resulting from past deeds. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Karmani niruddhahati kintacha bhakti bhajam. For devotees, the result of past pious and impious activities are nullified by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words arabdhaneva means as if achieved by past deeds. But in the case of Prithu Maharaj, there was no question of reaction to past deeds. And thus, the word eva is used here to indicate comparison to ordinary persons. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Avajananti maam murdhaha. This means that sometimes people misunderstand an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be an ordinary man. The Supreme Godhead his incarnations or his devotees may post themselves as ordinary men, but they are never to be considered as such. Nor should an ordinary man, not supported by authorized statements of the Shastra and Acharyas, be accepted as an incarnation or devotee. By the evidence of Shastra, Sanatana Goswami detected Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a direct incarnation of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although Lord Chaitanya never disclosed the fact. It is therefore generally recommended that the Acharya or Guru should not be accepted as an ordinary man. Om Jnanatimiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhuter Mahadhar Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Soram Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna. Here we are continuing on the description of the glorious activities of Maharaj Prithu and his instructions. Herein, great sage Maitreya is speaking about Prithu Maharaj and how he lived opulently in his kingdom as if he was burning the reactions of his pious deeds. So here in Sanskrit we can see this word Arabdhan. I think we are a bit familiar to this word. What's the word we usually hear? Prarabdha, right? The Prarabdha Karma. Prarabdha Karma means the karma that which are destined for this lifetime. That is Prarabdha. So that generally it is difficult to change. Prarabdha Karma means all the reactions which are supposed to come will come in this lifetime. They are allotted quota for this lifetime. So here the same term is used, Arabdhan. So Arabdha Karma here. Instead of Prarabdha, it is Arabdha, it is the same. So it looked as if he were under the clutches of karma. Thus, Srila Prabhupada makes the point very clear, makes it clear that Prithu Maharaj is not under the clutches of karma. It's not possible. Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, right? Namam karmani limpanti. name karma phale spriha. It's not possible that karma can bind me. Nama karmani limbanti. And I have nothing to do with karma. So these two lines are describing the characteristics of the Supreme Lord, how He is beyond the karma. Then the next two lines are for His devotees. So what Krishna says, okay, namam karmani limbanti, name karma phale spriha, iti mam yo abhijanati, karma bhir nasa badhyate. One who understands this, understand doesn't mean that just theoretical, but it's the realized understanding. Then karma bhir nasa badhyate, such a person is not entangled by karma. So first two lines explains Krishna's position beyond karma, and the next two lines describes a devotee's position beyond karma. So both real devotees and the Supreme Lord are beyond karma. We can see in this purport, Srila Prabhupada makes its point very clear, and he quotes Brahma Samhita, karmani nirdahati kintuja bhakti bhajam, from Brahma Samhita. Right? We can see, burned to the root, the karmas are burnt to the root. There is nothing is left for a devotee who has taken complete shelter of the Supreme Lord. So here we can see that how Prithu Maharaj is beyond the karma. He is a Shakti Avesh avatar, and at the same time he is a great devotee. Now the question comes, how far are we beyond karma? And how far are we under the clutches of karma? So this is an important question, and it's an important point to understand, because we can see karmic traits in our life, and at the same time we can see Krishna's hand. Both are there. So understanding karma or understanding Krishna's hand in our life, they are not some principles help us to resign from our responsibilities. Say for example, one could say, you know, everything is karma, we can't do nothing about it, so we can resign from our responsibilities. No. If we have, as devotees, we face with the karmic consequences, not necessarily incidents, even our behavior. You know, one is short-tempered, very angry. One can be very spaced out, inefficient. In any, so many different things, one can have the karmic traits which are coming to us. And we cannot say, I'm like this, so I can't do anything about it. It's all karma. So one may be rich, one may be poor. One may act in a certain way. However, the understanding of karma is to empower us to know that the past activities are building our current life, and so the future can be controlled by our current activities. So it is empowering rather than disempowering. So we need to take responsibilities. On the other hand, we can say everything is by the will of Krishna. So what can I do? Things are not going in the right way. I'm not making progress. Oh, so Krishna's, it's everything by Krishna's will. We can see go in either directions. However, the point is we have to take responsibilities. Yes, we do accept the karmic reactions. We do accept mercy of Krishna. But the question is, are we taking responsibilities in our spiritual progress? So this is very important. So here, the point is, on one side we can see karma, and on the other side Krishna's hand. Then what determines Krishna's hand? We want completely beyond karma, as it's mentioned in this purport, and we want to see Krishna's hand. So the point comes, are we surrendered? For a completely surrendered devotee, yes, it is completely under the hands of Krishna, which is the most secure position. How can we define surrender? So that's another question, how much am I surrendered? On the basic level, one has to understand, chanting 16 rounds, not just 16 rounds, chanting quality 16 rounds and following strictly four Agreti principles. So if we do that, we can understand, okay, we are actually surrendering to Krishna. Krishna's hand is certainly there, as simple as that. Then, the third one is very important, which is, how are we utilizing our time in Krishna service or in Krishna consciousness? So in Krishna service doesn't mean that one cannot do any job or one cannot be outside the temple. But what is our consciousness while enacting our duties? Within the temple or outside the temple, it doesn't matter. So these three things really determine how far are we surrendered. And this we have to look upon. It's very important. The quality of our chanting, quality of how our Krishna consciousness in terms of our service or our activities, what we perform, what mindset we are doing, and also following strictly the four regulative principles. If we are doing that, then one is under the shelter of Krishna. Even a person who is new into Krishna consciousness, if one is actually sincerely doing that, he is under the shelter of Krishna. So this is a very important point. However, there are gradations. There are gradations. That's why there are different stages of bhakti. There is the bhajana kriya, there is shraddha, there is sadhasanga, there is bhajana kriya, there is anartha nirvritti, there is nishtha. So it is said that anartha nirvritti is complete in nishtha. Right? So it means kleshagni and shupada are fully manifest in the stage of nishtha. What is kleshagni? Very important point, everyone wants to know. Klesha means all material difficulties. Gni means to destroy completely. So, klesha, gni. So, that is destroyed to the core. So, we are looking for that. We want to see that happen in our consciousness, that we don't have any material impediments for our progressive bhakti process. So, yes, one can see that the karmic reactions and the karmic traits are completely annihilated to a great degree at the stage of nishtha. And then there is shupada, all good qualities are there. So we are going through the anartha nirvritti, in which we do contemplate, we see what's happening, we reflect ourselves, what's going on in our heart. Are we making the right steps? What's going on in our mind? We check whenever it's necessary. So we do take some necessary steps as we are going through anartha nirvritti, which is a long stage in our life to go through so that we can become steady devotee. Now here, when you see, for a devotee, really speaking, there is no karmic reaction. For a devotee, all the wealth can come. A devotee can be very wealthy. ISKCON, there are many devotees who are wealthy. Is that karma? If there are real devotees, actually it is not karma. So we want to say that, hey, it's good karma. He's rich or she's rich because it's good karma. Is that just karma? No. It's not really karma. Why is it not karma? Because Krishna has the right to give or not to give for a surrendered devotee. He can change. Even though according to karma, one can be very wealthy, but Krishna can hold back the wealth if he wishes. If he thinks that is good for his spiritual progress, not to have so much of wealth, he can hold back. That's why in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th chapter, beginning verses, Prahlad Maharaj says, kindly don't tempt me with material benedictions. Because I am born in a Asuric family. So now, I am already affected by lust and greed. So if you offer me material benedictions, O Narasimhadev, then I can be tempted and I can be trapped again in the material existence. So Srila Prabhupada writes, for a devotee, if material opulences comes, that is not karma, but that is gift of Krishna. Then how do we know whether it's gift or it is maya? How, if you want an objective test, the objective test is that what such a devotee is using that wealth for. If it is distracting such a person from devotional service, then that is gift of maya. But if it is utilized in Krishna service, then it's gift of Krishna. So it's mentioned. Prahlad Maharaj makes it clear. And then he says, don't tempt me by any material benedictions. I don't want anything material. I just want to get out from the material clutches. That is the only desire that I have. Then, okay, on one level he says, this is an interesting point of pure devotees. When we try to hear from pure devotees who are beyond material clutches, who are completely liberated, they make contradictory statements. So on one level, they will say that, Prahlad Maharaj also says, my character is so low, I am so low born, I am an asura, I am a demon, and I can be easily swayed by material desires on one side. And in the next verse, Prahlad Maharaj would say, no, I am not completely unaffected by material desires. Actually, indeed, in the next verse, I think the third verse in the tenth chapter, Prahlad Maharaj says that I am sent to this material world to show the symptoms of a pure devotee. I am sent to this material world to demonstrate how a pure devotee is completely unaffected by material desires. And Prahlad Maharaj is demonstrating that. Similarly, in the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, same thing we can see. On one side he says, I am so low born, I can be easily swayed by the material desires, etc., etc. And he says, I am just like a person with 10 wives and everyone is pulling in different directions. In the same way, I am with my senses. He compares the senses to the wives who are pulling in different directions. And then he says, I have nothing to do with material existence. Right? He says, I have nothing to do with material existence. I am Mahamrita Magnachitta. Todgita Gayana Rasa Mahamrita Magnachitta. Oh, I am completely ecstatic in glorifying you, Krishna. I have nothing to do with this. And you can see even the chapter before, Narada Muni describes the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. There are many verses describing the Brahmanical qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. Then there are many verses describing the transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. He is Krishna Graha Grihitatma. He is under the control of one Graha, one planet. Everyone is interested in different planets, right? When the Shani is coming, Venus is coming, all the planets. Everyone is under the clutches of the planets because the planets are representing our karma. However, as a pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj says, I am only under the clutches of, or under the control of one planet. What is that? Krishna Graha. For I am under the complete shelter of Krishna. And Krishna is completely controlling my life. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, same point is mentioned. In the first chapter, Arjuna is completely under the control of Krishna. He is ready to accept whatever Krishna says. That is the person of a pure devotee. And he does accept Krishna's instructions. So here, there is a point that a pure devotee, he can demonstrate either sides, this and that. Similarly, gopis also say different things. On one side, they know everything about Krishna. On the other side, they don't know who Krishna is. Krishna is our friend, he's our lover. On the other side, they know everything about Krishna. In the 29th chapter, 10th canto. Nakalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam antaratma drik vikhana sharthito vishwaguptaye sakhau dehivan satvatam kule. They say, Nakalu gopika nandano bhavan, you are not the son of Mother Yashoda. Akhila dehinam antaratma drik, you are the super soul in everyone's heart. Vikhana Shathito Vishwagupta, you have descended to this material world to protect everyone from the material clutches, the material bonding. Sakha Udeyivan Satvatam Kule, thus you have descended in the Satvata dynasty, in the Yadu dynasty. So gopis knows everything. They know in and out about Krishna. But on the other side, after a few verses, the gopis are calling Krishna, Kitava Yoshitam Kastya Jain Nishi. Kitava Yoshitam. You are a thief. this is how. So they are switching gears actually. On one side, they know everything about Krishna. On the other side, know nothing. He's our friend. So this is how a pure devotee's prayers. So when you read pure devotee's prayers, you can see all different rasas. One side they know everything, on the other side they don't know anything. However, the reality is that they are completely under the shelter of Krishna. So for a devotee, we had to see, not up to the platform of Prahlad Maharaj. Still, if a devotee has material opulence and if it is used in Krishna service, we shouldn't be envious and we shouldn't say, it's just karma. Yes, there is a karmic factor, of course, but if it is used in Krishna service, that is gift of Krishna. Krishna is giving material opulences so that such a person can enhance his or her devotion service. So this is one side of it. So we don't mind that actually, right? When it's a vest karma, if Krishna is giving that gift, we don't mind. But how about when it is opposite? If it is some difficulties, right? That we don't want to hear. That is even difficult. If the difficulties are coming, still it is by the mercy of Krishna. That is the mentality of a devotee. Tatena kampam susamikshamano bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam. Here, the same word is used. Can you see that? Bhunjana. So here, bubhuje. Can you see? Bubhuje. In the 10th canto verse also, the word used is bhunjana. The same word is practically used. Tatena kampam. But a devotee, see, even difficulties comes to such a devotee's life, he or she sees that as mercy of Krishna. Tatte anukampa. Anukampa means mercy. Tatte anukampa susamikshamano bhunjana eva atmakritam vipagam. Bhunjana, the word bhunjana can be used in two contexts. One is enjoy, the actual meaning is enjoy, but that enjoy can be used in terms of good or bad. So here it is mentioned. It is the mention is about mentioned about enjoying the pious deeds. However, in the Satyanikambam verse, it is mentioned about one is going through the suffering. So it's not really an enjoyment, but one is enjoying the suffering. So that's in that context it is mentioned. Bhunjana. So a devotee sees, yeah, it is. Maybe with difficulty, according to our consciousness, we have to accept it is difficulty. Ultimately, mercy of Krishna, because Krishna is trying to purify me. And here, what is the point? The point is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. We are referring to the verse, "Karma bhir nasa badhyate." He is not bound by karma. So Krishna is using our karma to liberate us. Can you see that? Krishna is using our karma to liberate us. So usually karma is to bind us. That's why there is karmic reactions. But Krishna uses karma to liberate us. As simple as that. So that's why whether one is going through good times or bad times, for a devotee, both are for liberation. Both are the path of liberation. And a devotee sees in that way. Even though it's an elevated consciousness. So that is a recommendation given here. So yes, then how about the third thing, if a devotee falls away from Krishna consciousness? So one is one can get good results or one can get bad results or one may even leave Krishna consciousness. Still, one is under the protection of Krishna. Even if one falls down from Krishna consciousness, still one is under the protection of Krishna. Can you imagine that? So that looks really strange. That looks very odd. You know, how can a devotee be under the shelter of Krishna even one leaves Krishna consciousness? But Bhagavatam says, you know, that's the case. Even, you know, Savai Janajatu Kathan Chinat Varte Mukunda Sevya Anavradanka Samvadi Smaran Mukunda Angri Bakuhanam Puva Puna Vighadum Ichena Rasagrahojana. It is in the 5th chapter of a canto. One may leave Krishna consciousness, but still, Krishna can give the remembrance. Occasionally, Krishna will remind them, oh, you were better off in the temple. You were better off when you were a devotee. Krishna gives some memory. Krishna gives some remembrance. And it is said, even such a person goes through material tribulations, material suffering, it cannot be compared to that of a non-devotee, of a karmi. Even if a devotee leaves Krishna consciousness, it goes through a lot of ups and downs in the material realm, still it cannot be compared to that of a non-devotee, because still there is Krishna's hand. So that's why it's mentioned that Krishna is actually using his karma, he is adding or subtracting so that he may get purified. So Krishna is still watching. Krishna cannot stop such a devotee, stop loving such a devotee. So Krishna's hand is there, Krishna is looking. How can I get him back? Of course, his free will is there. Still, Krishna is trying to get him back. So this is the reality. So even if one leaves Krishna consciousness, still there is hand of Krishna. So it's mentioned, Vikhadam Ichchena Rasagraha Jena. So Krishna can give that remembrance. One time at least he thinks, or she thinks, oh, chanting Hare Krishna, being with the devotees, having prasadam, it was far better than what I am going through now. So this is the mercy of Krishna. Krishna can always protect. Even the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also it's mentioned. Vibhranti marga toibadha sahurda. Vibhranti marga, that one can go away from the path. Even if go away from the mark, but it is mentioned that toya abhigupta, toya abhigupta, you have still you protect such people so that they can make progress slowly, eventually they can make progress and they can come to you, the Supreme Lord. So this is the mercy of the Lord. It is possible. So any situation when you start chanting Hare Krishna, when we surrender to Krishna, Krishna's hand is there. The devotees need to understand. But our aim is to have more Krishna's hand rather than our karma or Maya's temptations. So that is our aim. So in Krishna consciousness, we need to arrange our day and night so that we can be Krishna conscious, so that Krishna can actually direct us. And it is possible. That's why it's mentioned that Krishna can direct us in all different circumstances. We had to always hear from Krishna. How can we always hear from Krishna? So one meaning of Sharanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoha, Smaranam is, okay, we orally hear and chant about Krishna, we think about Krishna, but other meaning is that we have to see, we have to hear Krishna's instructions through from everyone. During our day, we have to see how Krishna is instructing us. We may get instruction from others, other devotees, from non-devotees, from incidents. One has to see that. That's why in Bhagavatam and the 11th canto, there are 21 gurus. Many gurus are mentioned. Many are, you know, unconscious entities. You know, the mountain, the trees, they are conscious. Like that. Why they are given? Because one can learn from everything. So this is showing in Krishna consciousness, how can we hear from Krishna throughout the day. So that is our aim, seeing Krishna's hand throughout our day. Maybe at work, maybe in the temple, maybe preaching, but being connected to Krishna. This is the aim. Then we can see, okay, this is the third point. First is, you know, chant 16 rounds properly, following four regulated principles properly, then being in Krishna consciousness throughout the day and practicing that. Of course, we cannot do immediately 24 hours, but practicing it is possible. So we had to make some conscious effort to see Krishna's hand. Then life becomes better. We become, you know, the mind, when it goes negative, it doesn't go so negative because we can see Krishna's hand. So we need to practice that. Not just see the mind. Not just see the mind. See Krishna. So if we want to see Krishna, of course, we need to know Krishna's philosophy, Krishna's instructions. If you don't know Krishna's instructions, then whatever devotees are speaking or non-devotees are speaking or what we are seeing outside the world, it will not strike us. We cannot reflect on Krishna's instructions. But otherwise, we can see Krishna's philosophy as we walk around, as we talk around. So this is what's required. Then we become Krishna conscious. So this is, we need to practice that conscious effort to remember Krishna in this way. Yes, and here the discussion continues. There are pious and impious deeds and how Prithu Maharaj is beyond pious and impious deeds. Because he is a Shakti Avesh Avatar, he is an empowerment of the Lord. And then Srila Prabhupada continues to make the point that who is a devotee and who is an incarnation. Because in this world, many people claim to be incarnations of the Supreme Lord. In India especially, there are so many incarnations. Many incarnations, and at one, you know, we get sick of incarnations. Too many incarnations. In one time, there was a TV show, probably many of you may be aware, of a TV show of around 10 Kalki avatars. Kalki, the incarnation after, you know, the Kali Yuga, the end of Kali Yuga, Kalki is supposed to come to annihilate everyone, all the miscreants. So there was about, you know, many Kalki avatars came in a TV show, and everyone was claiming, I am the Kalki avatar. Like, how can we do that? So it's a, you know, early birth of Kalkis. Very early, because another, you know, nearly 432,000 years are left, or a bit less, 5,000 less. But that many years later, Kalki is supposed to come, but there are so many Kalkis in India. And everyone is claiming I'm an incarnation. So any Swamis or Yogis, after some time, they claim to be God. And if they are not climbing, the followers do climb. And they give a silent approval. Srila Prabhupada never accepted such Swamis, Yogis or their followers. So here, there is a mention about Sanatana Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Mathi Leela, in the Sanatana Shiksha. There was a conversation between Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami, where Sanatana Goswami asked about different incarnations, their classifications, etc. And Mahaprabhu starts narrating about different incarnations, quoting 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how they look, what is his form, nature, activities, etc. in different yugas. And he goes through Kali Yuga incarnation. He goes through, you know, Krishna Varnam Dushagrishnam himself, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself chants his verse, Krishna Varnam Dushagrishnam Sangopangastra Vashadam Yajnai Sangirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedhasa. He chants his verse and then goes on. Then Sanatana Goswami intervenes. He asks this question, you know, I am a very fallen soul. How can I don't have any ability to understand and to recognize who is an incarnation. So can you please elaborate more on the incarnation in the age of Kali? So this is a very intelligent way of asking the question. Please tell me something about yourself. Let's mention, Sanatana Goswami was a very diplomat. He didn't want to tell that directly. He had intelligence, that of Brihaspati. So he indirectly told, you know, can you please declare yourself as an incarnation? So Mahaprabhu, he's an incarnation. But, of course, he never claimed to be an incarnation. Right? One time, in Mahaprabhu's pastime, we can see Mahaprabhu's servant, Brahmin servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who traveled along with Mahaprabhu to cook for him. So close associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. When Mahaprabhu and Balabhadra Bhattacharya were in Vrindavan, many people were claiming that Krishna is still dancing on Kaliya in Yamuna. So they said, night if you go, the fishermen, they were telling, if you go to Yamuna, we can see Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. So it became a big news in Vrindavan. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he was taken aback from this. He said, oh, really? He got very excited. Balabhadra Bhattacharya started saying, yeah, Krishna has, you know, Krishna has still coming in the age of Kali and he is dancing on Kaliya. We can go and see. So he told Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, let's go and let's see Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. You know what Mahaprabhu did? Mahaprabhu gave one slap on his cheek straight away. He said, you claim to be a learned scholar and you are telling that the Leelavatar is going to appear in this age of Kali. You are a fool. So Mahaprabhu severely chastised Balabhadra Bhattacharya and slapped him. And said, Kali Yuga Leelavatar will not come. And from you should have sufficient faith in Shastra to understand that these people are just making a show. It's not there. Then later, the truth came out. What was that? That's right. The fisherman was going on the boat, and there was the, you know, the torchlight was hanging, and because the boat was rocking, it looked like, you know, the hoods of Kaliya, and it looked like the jewels on the hoods of Kaliya, the torchlight, and then there was nobody was actually dancing, so it was a complete speculation. So we can see even 500 years before there was speculation. So think about now, too many speculation. Too many incarnations. They claim as an incarnation, or their followers do claim as an incarnation. One devotee who was searching after truth from South India, he was going through different holy places, he was going through different yogis, etc. And then finally he came upon this big yogi, big Baba, well known. And this Baba claimed, this devotee to be with him. He wanted him to be his assistant and follower. because this Baba had the power to read the mind. And this devotee, he was not a devotee then, he was just a seeker. He was singing at one place with this Baba's devotees. And Baba, from a different distance, he could understand everything what was going on. He could read his mind and he could tell everything what was going on in his mind and what are his activities. But this devotee, he was not bewildered. He said, I can understand that I cannot find God here, I had to go somewhere else. And I had to find a guru for that. So this Baba told him that if you cannot find God here in my palace, then you cannot find God anywhere else. He was claiming that I am God, basically. This is how it is. They claim themselves to be God. And such gods, we can see their departure from this world, you know, in the ventilator, all life supporting systems, you know, that's how they actually, this Baba actually left in that same way. Can you imagine how such a person who's claimed to be God had such a sad end? Nobody's God, you know. And then Mahaprabhu, how does Mahaprabhu answer the question? He says, we don't have the ability to understand who is an incarnation and who is not an incarnation. So we had to take help from Shastra, from the scriptures, to understand who is an incarnation and who is not an incarnation. The first symptom of an incarnation, he said, in this age of Kali, he will not claim to be an incarnation. He will not proclaim that I am God. That's the first symptom. In Kali Yuga, when the Lord descends, he will not claim that I am God. If somebody is telling I am God, he is not God. Right? So that is the first symptom. So Mahaprabhu makes this point. That's why when in Vrindavan, many devotees approached Mahaprabhu and they were telling, you are Vishnu himself, you are Krishna, you are Vishnu. Mahaprabhu would close his ears, he will tell, Vishnu, Vishnu, don't offend the Supreme Lord. Don't pollute me. But this was the mood of Mahaprabhu. He is making the point that in Kali Yuga, first of all, there is no Leelavatar in the Kali Yuga. Only hidden incarnation appears in the age of Kali, Channavatar. Then Mahaprabhu explains, what are the characteristics, what are the primary characteristics, what are the Surup Lakshan of an incarnation, and what are the secondary characteristics, the Tatastha Lakshan. Surup Lakshan of an incarnation is that his form, his nature, his bodily limbs, the bodily features. So that is the primary characteristics of an incarnation. We can see those features, then one can understand if it's an incarnation or not. And secondary characteristics, activities. From this, the form, nature, bodily limbs and activities are given in the Shastra. And by studying Shastra, one can understand who is an incarnation and who is not an incarnation. So without the proper Shastric understanding, one cannot discern who is an incarnation and who is not an incarnation. So here, Prabhupada makes it clear. What kind of incarnation do we have? All this incarnation, they have all different kinds of diseases. They are getting old. They are dying. So incarnation doesn't have any material body. Our body is material body. Even though we can see, when incarnation appears in this world, one could see the spiritual body and they don't look like ordinary. Mahaprabhu's body was not ordinary. Krishna's body was not ordinary. That's completely spiritual. If one could see, one could perceive through the material vision because it's an incarnation, but the body is not the same. Not made of flesh and bones and marrows. No. That is Sachidananda, eternal, blissful and all knowledgeable. So that is the characteristics of the Supreme Lord. And if a foolish person cannot recognize the Supreme Lord. So our aim as devotees, we can understand about the Lord through Shastra. And next, one can understand about the devotees as well. Who is a devotee? A devotee is one who follows the instructions of the Lord. Acharyam mam avajaniyam, Krishna says in the 11th canto, that one shouldn't differentiate between the Lord and his empowered acharyas. Because an empowered acharya, an empowered teacher is representing the Supreme Lord. So we do follow the instructions of the empowered acharya. So one need to recognize an empowered acharya through his teachings. By following, you can verify what are his teachings and what does the Shastra says. Otherwise it is just following without, just out of sentiments. Sentimental following. I went to my sister, I went to a neighbor's house. So this was a few years back in India. I was visiting India and my sister was also visiting there. So our neighbor was follower of a Kalki incarnation, strict follower of Kalki incarnation. And they said everything is happening by the mercy of Kalki. Okay, interesting. And told many material things, you know, this happened, that happened, everything because of Kalki. And there was Paduga of Kalki there. And there is a magic happening, that is, if you pray in front of the photo of this particular person, along with this Paduka, the real Paduka is there. If you pray very sincerely, and if your prayer is very true, it's from the heart, then Paduka is going to move. That is the magic. If you pray very sincerely, Paduka will shake, it will start moving. So my sister went. I wasn't there that time, but she told me when I reached there. Sister went, they asked, you know, okay, pray, because you have some such and such problem, you please pray. Then they told, the Paduka should move. So she said, she started praying, nothing was happening. She said, I started praying very sincerely, from the heart, with all my effort, Paduka was not moving. She said, nothing was happening. What I did, with my finger, I just pushed it, then it moved. Just, you know, she was going like this and just gave it a push and started moving. Then they said, yeah, look, Paduka is moving. It's working. She said, okay. She said, I made them happy and I came out. So this is how it is. You know, these are all, no proper understanding. It's not just a magic. Understanding who is a God, who is his devotee, it's not just by magic, but by knowledge. If you get proper knowledge, then one can understand what is what. Otherwise, one will be misled. So here, and Prabhupada was very emphatic about this. One need to have knowledge. One need to study the scriptures properly so that one can know what is right and what is wrong. So here, the Prabhupada concludes talking about one shouldn't take ordinarily, consider the guru or an acharya just as an ordinary person, but at the same time, one shouldn't accept just an ordinary person as guru or an acharya. One need to have sufficient knowledge. So I conclude here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, please.
We were talking about Krishna's hand in devotee's life. Krishna's hand is not in one devotee's life. They just don't know.
Okay, so usually, how do we define Krishna's hand? It depends on how do we define Krishna's hand. As a witness, as a sanctioner, his hand is there in everyone's life. But when it comes to devotees, there is a difference. So generally, if somebody is not a devotee, they get their fair share through karma. According to the laws of karma, everyone gets their fair share. Whereas for a devotee, there is no karma. So that's what's mentioned. There is no karma. It doesn't mean that we'll not get sick, we'll not have any financial issues, or we'll become rich. No. We don't have karma means Krishna is using our karma to liberate us. So whatever a devotee is going through, it is for our purification, for our spiritual upliftment. So that is the case of a devotee. But non-devotee, it is karma. So that is the difference. However, even a devotee, if he or she at any point in life thinks that I want to make any spiritual advancement, if one that thought comes, I want to go closer to Krishna, if that thought comes, then immediately Krishna is just waiting for that. Even at that point, Krishna starts interfering in his or her life. That point. So even just that desire, yeah, slight thought, okay, what is it like to be a devotee? That thought, whenever it comes in their life, Krishna start navigating. Okay, how can I help such and such person? So in one sense, okay, Krishna is looking after everyone, but Krishna is especially looking after his devotees. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of a king. Krishna, a king, or if you consider the administrative heads, the government is looking after everyone. But they also, their own family, they have a special feeling. King can look after everyone. And if a good king will look after everyone, but king's own family, there's a special feeling, and you cannot criticize king for that feeling because it's own family. Similarly, Krishna is looking after everyone. Krishna's hand is in everyone, but there's a special hand in his devotees. And you cannot criticize Krishna for that, because he's a person. He has feelings, as we do have. At the same time, Krishna is telling, okay, all of you join my family. Right? King cannot have everyone as his family. Right? He's limited. But Krishna is telling, okay, you will join in my family so that I can give special care. So that's the difference between king and Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
So you're saying that Krishna uses devotees' past karma to appear.
Yes.
So do they generate karma? Devotees generate karma. So then Krishna is using the past karma. What about them generating karma? Because
yes.
Sometimes devotees also do quite abominable activities. You know, it's even implicated in the legal system and done various activities.
Yes. Yes.
So will they be implicated in karma just because they are devotees, or they are immune to it?
Okay. Here, that's why it is mentioned in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Right? What's mentioned? What's the verse? Very clean. Apiche sudhajudhra dhracharo bhajate mam ananyabhag sadhreva samandavya. Right? Sadhreva samandavya. The word used is sadhreva samandavya. Even one performs some durachar, abominable activities, still such a person has to be considered as a devotee. So here we had, so it is saintly for us to consider a devotee who act unsaintly to be saintly. Understand? It is saintly for us. As a saintly devotee, one should consider if somebody is, a saintly person is performing some abominable activity, still as a saint. So that can look a bit challenging. So what is the determining factor? The Prabhupada explains, and Krishna explains in the next verse. What is the next verse? Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim abhigacchati. Then he says, kauntaya prajanati name bhakta pranashyati. Right? Pranashyati. So here, why is coming? So the if somebody goes away from Krishna consciousness or performs some abominable activities, if we consider them as a devotee, still if they come back to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada, that's Prabhupada's explanation. If whether have they done an accidental abominable activity or with intentionally one has done, if what with proper thought process one has done sinful activities intentionally, then that is a dangerous situation. But here is particularly mentioned about accidental fall downs. If an accidental fall downs, the Krishna's hand is there and Krishna can pull them back. The reality is one can see that whether they come back to Krishna consciousness. That's how we see whether it was accidental or not. Then now, if we consider our scenario, if we do sinful activities and if we take it for granted, definitely we will be implicated. We don't have much choice. If we think, look, especially if it come to the point, it can come to an offensive state. I am a devotee, I can do sinful activities. It will be covered for that. If one has that mentality, then the activity and even the devotional service one performs with that activity, that becomes sinful activity. One get double negative reaction. For the activity in itself and even performing devotional service, that mentality, Krishna will not give mercy. Especially it's mentioned about chanting. Namna baladyasihi papa buddhi. That is, committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. So if one has that mentality while performing some abominable activity, then there is no hope. One will be doubly implicated. No choice. However, if it happens accidentally, sometimes weakness of the heart, if it's not intentional, because of the past bad habit, it comes out. Okay, we had to forgive. You know, it is. So that's why it is mentioned. It is saintly. One has to consider saintly, even though he has gone through such and such difficulties. And one may take longer time in that route. So as devotees, we understand he has done so much of service, now going through a wrong route. But we respect them, but we don't closely associate with them. We keep a distance, because otherwise that can affect us. So we respect them from a distance. But still, we shouldn't just tell them that they are a karmi. They are not just a karmi. They are going through some difficulties. That's all. It's just a matter of time. We don't know when. So we see them with respect, but we don't associate. So if intentionally committing any sinful activities, definitely we are implicated. And if we have that wrong mentality, that's the problem. If mentality is right, one may go through one's devotional life, and because of that bad impressions, some activities will be not appropriate. What can we do? So that is forgiven. And one has to still try hard. That's the stage of anartha nirvruti. Even in bhajana kriya, so many anarthas are coming, pushing very hard. That is a particular characteristics of anartha nirvruti. Bhajana kriya is particular characteristic of bhajana kriya is one characteristic. There are six characteristics. One characteristic is that tug of war between sense gratification and the devotee. Maya is telling, okay, do this, do the other thing. And the mind, okay, you can enjoy in this way, you can enjoy in the other way. All these pullings are there and devotee is trying. So it is said, sometime we may fail, sometime we may succeed. But a devotee proper in bhajana kriya will continue. Even if one fails, still picks oneself up and then continue. So one may be some sinful activity, still picks oneself up and then continue devotion service. So that one can go beyond, one can get nivritti from the anartha, one can get rid of that and come to steadiness. That is the initial objective. Then there are many other objectives. Is that clear?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Can one have spiritual master without getting an initiation or something?
How about that?
Can one have a spiritual master without getting oneself initiated?
Okay. Can we have spiritual master without getting initiated? So when you talk about guru or the spiritual master, there are different kinds of spiritual master. Actually, there are a few kinds. First one is the most commonly understood, that is Diksha Guru. Diksha Guru means one is getting a spiritual master by the process of Diksha. Second one is instructing spiritual master, Shiksha Guru. So one can have only one Diksha Guru, one can have many Shiksha Gurus. Third, one has Vatma Pradarshaka Guru, one who showed the path of Krishna consciousness. That can be anyone. Doesn't that be when a devotee? One is showing, you know, come to temple, there are nice. So anyone can be Vatma Pradarshaka Guru. And the fourth is Chaitya Guru. That is the Lord as Paramatma within the heart. So there are different kinds of gurus, of which Shiksha Guru can be many. There can be many Shiksha Gurus. So if we are hearing from a devotee, we are getting some instruction from a devotee, he is our Shiksha Guru. So there are many Shiksha Gurus. On one level we have many Shiksha Gurus because we get instruction from many devotees. However, we get Diksha Guru only through initiation, because that is the meaning of Diksha Guru. And what is the importance of Diksha Guru? Because by the Diksha system, one gets officially connected to the parampara, to the disciplic succession. Tatviti pranipatayana pariprasanna sevaya upadeshyanti te gyanam gyanina tatta darshana. Bhagavad Gita says. So here, that initiation is very important because we are taking a bold step in our spiritual life. It's not very easy. Why? Because it's not very easy to get initiated. I'm not talking about the formalities or the exam, how we write the exam, not in that sense. But for a conditioned soul, we want to be independent. And we don't want to listen from anyone. Really, right? Everyone wants to be independent, everyone wants to see, I am the Lord, I am the Master. We want everyone to listen to us. That is a conditioned state. And now, a jiva, a living entity, is accepting that he is my spiritual master, and at least this lifetime I will listen whatever he says. I am ready to accept him as my spiritual master and as my guide. It's a big step. That's why Krishna recognizes such a step. So if we take initiation properly from a bona fide spiritual master, we are officially enrolled to the parampara system, and Krishna recognizes because of this surrender element. So that's why initiation is important. And that's why Srila Prabhupada introduced initiation. And ISKCON as a society is continuing the process of initiation. It is very important. Makes that clear? So one can have Shiksha Gurus without initiation, but a Diksha Guru after initiation.
So a follow-up question to that is, if we can't progress in spiritual life unless we have a spiritual master, so having been initiated is required to progress in spiritual life.
Whether it's mandatory, the point is, if you chant Hare Krishna, you are making spiritual progress. If you are attending Bhagavatam, you are making spiritual progress. If you sincerely practice Krishna consciousness, we are making spiritual progress. It's not dependent on anything. However, we need help. We need help. That's a reality. And we need help from an elevated person. We need help from one who is spiritually very advanced. So that's why we have Diksha Gurus. So that we can actually get connected. So we are connecting to Krishna system. So yes, we make advancement without a guru as well. But if you want to make the next level, we need help from a guru. Of course, there is a shiksha can also be there. Say, for example, in the previous ages, the prominent system was shiksha. Our disciplic succession is primarily based on shiksha. There, both the guru and disciples were on a very liberated platform. So just by shiksha, for example, here, Vidura and Maitreya. Here's the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. Vidura is a disciple and Maitreya is the guru. And we cannot see that there is a formal initiation. Okay, you are my spiritual master. This is your name. Here is your beads. There is a fire. No. Krishna and Arjun. We cannot see that there is a fire yagya happening in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You know, okay, the priest. Okay, you are my disciple. Here is your new name. Here is your bead. No. That is, here is the acceptance of a spiritual master just based on shiksha. But you had to understand the caliber of the student and the teacher as well. So we cannot imitate that which existed on a different era, at different times, with a different capacity of people. Just by hearing, they are accepting. That's it. They taken the spiritual master to the heart, the instruction, just by hearing. I have accepted him as a spiritual master, and so that's sufficient. For us, we need a system. That's why we have the whole yagya, the whole sacrifice, or we get the blessings of the devotees, the blessings of the fire, because Krishna is representing the fire, and the Vedic mantras, the deities, the saligram, everyone. Because we have to take the initiation process as a serious process. It has to create an impression in our heart so that we follow that in the rest of our life. So we get mercy from everyone. So in Kali Yuga, in this age, we need support from all different angles. We need support. So one could say technically, yes, in different era, yes, they survived, accepted a spiritual master, but there was not yagya. They accepted Maitreya as a spiritual master, of course. But if there was no Diksha process as such. But currently we need the Diksha process and we need the full support of the system. Then we can make progress because we are very weak. Make sense? So we had to understand from the all angles. So if you ask whether it is important, yes, it is very important. That's why Srila Prabhupada introduced. Otherwise he wouldn't have introduced. It's very important. It's mandatory for us. That's why we emphasize Diksha process. So it is not, we don't just say it as an option. You say it is definitely required.
I just understand here that activities without the spiritual master are considered piety, but with spiritual master are considered devotional service.
Yeah. Yeah, here, just making the point, yeah, here, yes, that's right, yeah. Spiritual master means, say, for example, here again, shiksha and diksha is there. That's the point I was mentioning, if it's true. So it doesn't mean that, say for example, in your case you are not initiated, still you accept the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. So that's why you are making progress. So it's not piety. So don't misunderstand that point. No, you haven't officially enrolled, but still we are accepting Srila Prabhupada's teaching. So it's not piety, it is devotional service. So yeah, we are making progress. Then it's actually very interesting in the 7th verse of 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you know, the famous verse, Karpanidoshabhasadasabhava, where Arjuna is now surrendering unto Krishna. Arjuna is accepting Krishna as his spiritual master. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that the material life is so complex. It is just like the forest fire. No, with no reason, there are so many confusions and one can be bewildered in all different directions. So then a sincere soul feels, I need help. I need help. I need some personal guidance from an elevated person. And that's why we have the Diksha system. One feels, I need some help. That's a qualification to accept a spiritual master. I need help. One of the qualifications. Not just, you know, everyone else has a spiritual master. We come to a stage in our bhakti, when we chant for some time, then we come to a stage, we actually feel, you know, I need some help. Then we get inspired. So there are many spiritual masters in this corner, and we get inspired by maybe one or two or many. Then finally we get to one person, and we get initiated from such a person. Next, thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay. Thank you very much. Granthrashima Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki.